Now, this is, I think, the third in this series. We've been covering a series. It's kind of funny, Sharon, you know, reading the book, you know, All In. What have we been talking about? Loving God with all. That's what we've been talking about. So we've covered so far loving God with all of our, what was the first one?
Heart.
Well, that wasn't last week. It was week before, because we had last week was outdoor service. The second one was loving God with all of our
soul.
So today, we're going to talk about loving God with all of our mind. Now, the last time I did a sermon on this, I basically made a couple statements that I think are important for us to remember. Now, how do we know when we love God with all of our heart? It's when Jesus is our treasure. It's when he's captured our emotions. He's captured our affections. When nothing else is second to God. Nothing. God is our everything. That's loving God with all your heart. Now, how do we know that we love God with all of our soul? Well, that's when our choices have become God-centered. It's when we live a lifestyle. Remember, we talked about it, of humility, of meekness, of godliness. It's when everything we do is for God and God alone. And nothing is done unless God asks us to do it first. Nothing. Amen. That's loving God with all your soul. Now, what I found interesting about this sermon series is the word all. That's what God is just keeps bringing me back to. It's the word all. And he's kind of been calling out just different areas in my life. Just ones where he's kind of asked, all? You ever had areas in your life where God just kind of points at and says, have you given me all of that? All that area? Because for a long time, I always believed that as long as God was the highest priority in my life, you know, as long as God got 51%, I'm okay. Because he's my number one priority. God keeps telling me, no, you got it wrong. I don't want to be your number one priority. I want to be your only priority. That's hard, isn't it? I don't know about you, but that has been a challenging thing to me. I mean, I think it was last week or the week before, I asked someone how they've been liking the sermons I do. I've learned that's actually a really dangerous thing to do because sometimes people will tell you just exactly what they think of your sermons. And they said that they understood what I was teaching, but they kind of had a problem with one of it. They said, I have a problem with, you know, giving complete control to God. And I get that. I understand that. I mean, we grow up in a society that values freedom, right? I mean, what do we celebrate tomorrow? 4th of July, freedom, right? I mean, and when it comes to our freedom, we take pride in the fact that we fight for our freedom, right? That we in America, we fought for it, we won. That's right. You know, we're the commanders of our own destiny. You know, that we, you know, and even us men, I think, we take that to such an extreme. We always like to be in control. We always want to be the, you know, the one who makes the decisions. See, the problem is God keeps pointing me back to the fact that I told God that I would surrender everything to him. I promised God, and this was my choice. It wasn't something that was made. I wasn't forced to do this. I told God that I would be a servant of him, bond servant. That means I voluntarily gave God everything. I voluntarily said, God, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. You know what I heard? It's really hard to value freedom and be in control and be a bond servant. They just don't work well together. They don't, because in my mind, all right, you know, I'm going to do this. And I don't make the decisions anymore. I got to go to someone else and ask what God wants me to do. Amen. So you see how that kind of conflicts? But we're in such a country that so values freedom, control, choice. And I have to give God control of all my emotions, of all my affections. We talked about that, right? Giving God all of our heart. I have to give God all my choices. I have to allow God to run my lifestyle. Amen. Giving God all my soul. But that leads us to the third one, right? Which is our mind. I actually read a statistic and it scared me. I don't know why, but most statistics scare me because they're almost, I think they're done intentionally to shock you. The statistic I read said 94% of teenagers, when they have a question, they would prefer to go to Google than their father. 94%. I'm a dad. I got four kids, right? So you know what that means? Statistically? Number one, it taught me that there's some trust issues there, right? Between dads and their teens. You know what it also taught me is that teenagers are actually searching for answers, but they're going to the wrong people.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that I got all the answers. I don't. I'm not even saying that I'm always right, that my children, if they always follow the advice I give them, that they'll never go wrong. I'm not saying that. But I guess what scared me is if 94% of teenagers aren't willing to go to their earthly father for help, I wonder what the percentage is of them that would be willing to go to their heavenly father for advice or help. Now, the scripture that we've been using so far, I'll have Aaron put a bunch of these up on screen. This will help you just so you don't have to feel like you have to look them up quick. You can write them down for later. It's great for study during the week. But the scripture we've been using is in Mark chapter 12. I'm going to read you a little more of the passage this week than I have been in the past. Mark 12, starting in verse 28, it says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' Jesus answered, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' Amen. 'The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.' 'Well said, teacher,' the man replied. 'You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' Amen. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You're not far from the kingdom of God.' And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions." So what is the mind? What is, and matter of fact, in the second part of the verse, the gentleman, when he repeats back the commandment to Jesus, he uses the word understanding. Well, what is the mind and understanding? Well, the Greek word that they use here, I mean, I'm going to give you a little lesson. It's dianoia. That's spelled D-I-A-N-O-I-A. What it actually means, it's the intellect. It's your deep thought. It's the exercise of using the mind. It's your imagination. It's your understanding. It's the process of thinking through something, and then it's once we've thought through it, it actually gives us the ability to judge something. It gives us enough information where we can make a decision. Now, the word understanding is the Greek word synesis. It means to mentally put something together. It literally is as our knowledge and our intelligence. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to give you four parts of our mind that we need to be able to love God with all of. Because I really believe that if we were to break the mind down, you will find that there are four different parts to our mind. So, number one, this is important. How do we love God with all four parts of our mind? First, we have to love God with our logic, our reason. We need to be thankful for our logic and reason, and then we need to surrender it to God. I'm going to say that again. We need to be thankful for our logic and reason, and then we need to surrender it to God. Now, to reason is to literally is to think, right? It's to understand. It's to form judgments about something. And we do that through the process of logic. Now, I believe that part of loving God with all your mind is loving God with your reason and logic. And honestly, I'm glad. You know why? Because that's how God has designed me. I'm a very logical person. I like to reason and to figure things out. And for guys that I guess that are built like me, it's a relief to know that that is a way that we can honor God. And matter of fact, I've learned that through logic and reason, it actually will save you from a lot of trouble. See, it's your logic and reason that tells you to look both ways before you cross the road, right? It's your logic and reason that says, don't eat the leftovers that are in the back of the fridge, the ones that are little, you know, green and they don't smell good. Your logic and reason says, don't do that. Throw those away. See, your logic and reason says, put on some sunscreen before you go outside to your son's baseball games so you don't burn like a crisp. Seriously, your logic and your reason will actually save you from a lot of trouble. Now, the interesting thing is that it's important to understand that your logic and reason, though, never should become the master of your life.
That's right.
Never. So the next scripture verse that I want to show you, it's in Proverbs. It's in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now let me break that down, because this is kind of important. So the first kind of phrase, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Basically what he's saying is, make sure that all your confidence, all your security comes from, you know, everything that comes from kind of your core being. Basically, you know, everything that makes you, you, that's part of who you are. Because that's your heart, right? That's the core part of you. Make sure that all of that is shown in your obedience, your emotions, your affections, your prayers. Make sure that all of that is grounded in God. It has to be grounded in God. That has to be completely 100% sold out to him. And it says, the next part, it says, and lean not to your own understanding. You know what I've learned? The mind, it's the learner of the body. It's not the leader of the body. You know what the leader of the body is? It's your heart. You know why I know that? Because you know what? The Holy Spirit sometimes will speak things into your heart that your mind will immediately say, that's crazy. That's dumb. That makes absolutely no sense. That's like Peter when he's in the boat and, you know, a thought kind of comes into his heart that says, go walk out to Jesus who's on the water. You know what his mind probably said? Are you kidding me? Dude, water. You can't walk on that. So mind, when things come in there, they immediately reject. But you know what I've learned? Our logic and understanding was never meant to be the firm foundation that we run our life on. It isn't. That's not the firm foundation that everything is built on.
That's right.
It isn't. Our firm foundation is on built on God, the Holy Spirit, the revelation that can only come from him.
Amen.
So what we're saying here is we don't depend on our wisdom and our understanding. We don't lean on it. That's not the foundation of our life. Does it say ignore your understanding? No, it doesn't say that, right? Does it say, you know, whenever your brain, you know, says to, it's not saying to ignore it, okay? That's the key in this. It says to not lean on it. Now it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, you know what that literally means? It literally means is to know God. That's literally what that phrase means. It means to know God. That, and what that means is that we basically live our life as if God is right next to us.
Amen.
So we don't do anything that we wouldn't want God to see. So it's, I'm here, God is here, and so if God's here, then what am I going to do before I do something? I'm going to find out from him. I want to make sure that everything that I do lines up with exactly what God wants me to do. There's nothing that I'm going to do unless God has basically said and smiled, yep, that's what you should do. Yep, that's good. See, when we prize logic and reason over revelation from the Holy Spirit, then you know what that means? That means that we're living our lives for us.
Right.
That means that we're in control, that we're guiding things. We have to flip that around and instead allow revelation from God, him speaking into us, be the direction in our life.
Amen.
And it says, the last phrase says, and he shall direct thy paths. And like I said, that does not mean that logic and reason doesn't have a purpose. It does. It can be powerful in its own way. It will keep you safe. It will stop you from doing things that can bring you harm. It's just saying, don't lean on him. We trust in God to make our paths straight. And you know what that actually means? It means when a path is straight, it's impossible to get lost, right? It makes it clear. It doesn't mean that it's an easy path, right? It didn't say make your path, you know, super simple. It doesn't mean that he puts, you know, a little, you know, those things at the airport where you just stand on them and it just kind of moves you through. It's not saying that. What he's saying is that I will make your path so clear so it's impossible for you to get lost.
Amen.
I will make sure that you know the exact direction to go. And you won't walk it alone because you're acknowledging me in everything that you do. So I'm there with you.
Right.
So we lean on the revelation and wisdom from God. We do not lean on our own understanding.
Amen.
Okay? All right. So that's part one. Our logic and reason, first part of our mind. The second part of our mind is knowledge. We need to make sure that our knowledge is based on the Word of God. We need to make sure our knowledge is based on the Word of God. In Hebrews 10, verse 16, Hebrews 10, 16, it says this, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." See, to love God with all of our minds, what that means is we take time to fill our mind with the Word of God. I mean, there's no problem that the Bible does not have the ability to give you what is necessary to make the right decisions.
That's right.
See, some people say, well, the Bible, it's so old, it's old-fashioned. No, it's not relevant anymore. I can promise you this, that there is not a problem or a situation that you are facing now today that the Bible cannot give you specific and very directional instruction on how to live your life.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if you feel that the Bible cannot give you that, come meet me during the week. We will sit down, you tell me what the issue is or the area of direction that you need, and you know what? Together, we'll dive into the Word of God, and we will find what thus says the Lord in your life. The Bible has to be the foundation of your knowledge. See, haven't you met so many, everyone wants to give you advice nowadays, right? I mean, matter of fact, even when you don't have advice, people want to give you advice. I mean, everyone's got a blog, something where they want to give you words. You want to wisdom? Grab your Bible. Sit down for a while. Start reading. Well, I don't understand what I'm reading. Come to me. I will help you. I'll give you a version of the Bible that's much easier to understand. There are some versions, like the King James, I'll admit, they can be quite difficult to understand. There are other versions that are more modern that have the same message, but it allows you to understand it. That has to be the... See, we're told not to lean on our own understanding. You know what you need to lean on? You need to lean on the Word of God. That will be your rock. That will be a foundation that will never, ever break. You can never go wrong with that. Matter of fact, it says in Psalms 119, verse 9, Yes, you cannot sit down, Aaron. You must stand the whole service. It says in 119 verse 9, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word.
Amen.
Next verse, Psalm 119 verse 11. This is the Message version. It says, I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin myself bankrupt. You know what I like about that verse is that it basically tells you two things that keep you from sinning. You know what the first one is? Is it's storing up the Word of God inside you. But there's a part of it that people miss. You only store things that are valuable. That's really all you should be storing. You don't put inside a bank something that does not hold value to you. You know what? If you're not storing the Word of God inside you, you know what you're saying? You're saying it's not valuable. You need to spend time in the Word and hiding it inside you. Remember, we made a decision. This was not an easy decision. About 5 or 6 years ago with our kids, we decided that they were going to memorize the Bible. As parents, we decided that. Matter of fact, it's probably longer than that. It's probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And as a matter of fact, we started easy. I think the first thing we did, wasn't it like 1 Corinthians 13? We started with just one chapter of the Bible, and we wanted them to learn it. And we did. As a family, we learned it. And so then we were like, you know what? Let's get a little crazy here. We're going to do a whole book of the Bible, an entire book. And we were going to give ourselves 1 year to do it as a family. So we picked the book of James, one of my favorite books of the Bible. And we as an entire family memorized James 1:1 all the way to the end. So by the end of the year, Jonathan, Philip, and Aaron, and me and Sharon were able to quote you the entire book. From start to finish, all of James. And we were like, wow, this is great. So then the next year, Heidi jumped in because at the time, I think she was only like 4 or 5. So we didn't expect a 4 or 5 year old. But Jonathan, I think, was what, 6 when he started? He was like 5 or 6. So for those of you who say, my kids can't do it, I had a 6-year-old who memorized the entire book of James. Okay, 6 years old. So you know what? You can do it. And I'm gonna be honest with you. They did not want to. They didn't come to us and say, oh, thank you for making us memorize the entire book of a Bible. That's the greatest thing in the world. Thanks, Mom and Dad. We didn't get a lot of high fives for that. But you know what? Me and my wife saw the value of it. And you know what we said? We actually set up rewards for them. We did different things. You know, the interesting thing is the reward is not the best reason why they did it. I am excited to see what God's going to do in the lives of my children 10, 20, 30 years from now when someone says something and they can say, no, the Bible doesn't say that. Matter of fact, I know it says this in Philippians. I know it says this in 1 John. I know that it says there's huge value and benefit to that. So what am I trying to get here? Look, the world is full of self-help books, different things. Everyone's trying to tell you opinions of where they've been. You know what? Foundation, Word of God. Let that be the rock that all your decisions, all your knowledge is based on. Word of God. So, all right. So first thing, reason and logic. Second thing, knowledge. Third part of the mind that we need to be able to surrender all to God is our memories. It's our memories. We need to know the memories to keep, and we need to know the ones to put behind us. First verse, Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will tell you the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. See, the Bible is full of things for us to remember.
That's right.
The Bible is full of memories that should drive us to gratefulness. Should drive us to wanting to worship him. It should drive us to just being plain old thankful for all the things that God has done. See, when we use our memories to literally direct us toward remembering his kindness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his love, his passion, his peace, we build a foundation inside of us of faith, right? It builds a hope inside us. It allows us to be able to love in ways that we never would have been able to love. Next verse, Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, what I'm trying to help you understand here is that memories really come in two shapes. You have the memories that weigh you down, and they're the memories that lighten the load. You really will have two. What we need to be able to do is to be able to determine which memories are weighing us down and actually cause us to never leave our past versus what are the memories that actually empower us. They actually give us the courage, the strength, and the endurance to keep going. Now, the interesting thing is it's not just negative memories that weigh us down. See, any memory that causes you to stay in your past is one that you need to let go, you need to put down. That could even be good memories. Have you ever seen someone who never moves forward anymore because they're always reliving the memories of the past?
Right.
See, what God is trying to teach us is that there are certain things that we need to let go of, that we need to lay down, that we need to say, you know what? That is not allowing me to be everything that I can be in God.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, our memories, not just positive memories, do we carry with us.
Right.
You know why? Look, there are some positive memories in your life of the victories and the miracles that God has done in your life that do. They give you courage. They give you faith. They give you strength. But you know what? There are some negative memories in your life that are cautions, that are warnings to you to not go back down a path that you went down before. And you know what? Those memories don't weigh you down. If anything, there are literally like shields around you that stop you from getting involved in things that you have no business getting involved in.
Amen.
So that's the key. When it comes to your memories, which ones do you carry versus which ones do you lay down? Well, that's how you decide.
Amen.
If it's something that is keeping you in your past, if it's not propelling you on, if it's not giving you the courage to move forward, let it go. If it's one that is giving you strength, that gives you confidence, one that gives you faith to believe that not only God can do that miracle in your life, but that God can protect you from making past mistakes, carry them with you. They will be a strength in your life. Our past can help our present, and it will enable our future if we're careful on what things to remember. So, logic and reason, knowledge, memories. The last one, it's our imagination. See, we need to surrender our imagination to Jesus. See, God has given us the power to imagine. It's a powerful thing. Dreams of where you want to be someday. Some people almost call it like getting a picture of your future. Those are important things that we need inside us. But see, the important thing when it comes to imagination is that, imagination has the ability to see ahead. It gives you the ability to almost to create in your mind. If you're able to dream something, it actually will propel you toward it in the future. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4, it gives us some kind of guidelines on how we should manage our imaginations. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds,
Amen.
Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God,
Amen.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, the interesting thing here, does it say that all imaginations and dreams are bad? No. What did it say? It says, you know what? If you have a dream or something that takes itself and puts it above God, destroy it.
That's right.
Destroy it. It has no business being in your life. If you have a dream or something that you want to do that is somehow has removed your focus or has stopped you from making God everything in your life, it's wrong. Even if it's a good thing, it's wrong.
Amen.
It is, matter of fact, God will not bless it. God will not honor it. Matter of fact, God will be against it. God will want it destroyed. Because you know why? God is jealous. He wants to be the number one thing in your life. And so if you raise up anything above it, God wants it destroyed. Amen. So it gives us some wisdom here. It says, okay, so whenever you have an imagination or a dream or something, what does it say to do? It says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what it's saying is when you get a dream, immediately put it underneath God. Immediately give it to Him. Immediately lay it down at His feet. Immediately say, God, you gave me a dream of being this, of going to this, or doing this. So God, you know what I do? I surrender it to you. You do it you want in your timing, in your way, for your 100% for you. So you know if you do that, then you know that that dream will never rise itself above God. You're immediately saying, no, God, I want to be a doctor someday. But you know what? God, I surrender that to you. So God, I will go to the college that you ask me to. I will go to the residency that you ask me to. I will serve in the way that you want me to. I lay it down before you because it's not about me. It's all about you. Amen. Do you understand what I mean? So yes. Look, having dreams is great. It's powerful, but it's bringing them underneath the authority of God. Amen. Now, all right, let me wrap it up. Once we position ourselves to love God with all of our mind, we have to guard our mind. Because there are lots of things that are going to potentially try to distract us. They're going to try to stop us from following after God. So Aaron, put up this last scripture verse. And I want to break it down for you and what it's really trying to say. It's going to be very familiar to some of you. It's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, let me break that down of what it's, like I said, sometimes the King James Version is not as easy to understand, so let me break it down of what is being said here. It says, be anxious for nothing. So it's saying, it's not saying to not be careful. Okay, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying that you should live your life carelessly. It's not. It's saying to have such a confidence in God that it actually causes your mind to become free of fear. That's what it's saying. It says, but in everything. It's my favorite word, right? All. Nothing held back. In everything that you do, everything that life brings you, no matter what happens in life, it says, by prayer and supplication. Yes. And that's not repeating itself. It's saying every time that you should be bringing in direct communication with God. This is your relationship with God. This is your lifestyle. This is how you live your life. It is, with, like I was talking before, it's literally God beside you every step of the way. You are 100%. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about praying without ceasing. That's the lifestyle he's talking about. He's saying that you are in constant communication with him, that you will do absolutely nothing without talking to him. And I love the fact it then says, with thanksgiving. That's key. We need to acknowledge that no matter what is going on in our life, we always have something to be thankful for. Always. Always have something. Pastor, you have no idea what's going on in my life. I do know this. You have a Savior who loved you enough to die on a cross for you. So if that's all that you can honestly be thankful for right now, then you've got more than enough. Amen. So often we come to God in, I guess you'd say, in almost in desperate times, come to Him with thanksgiving too. Because you know what? Don't forget, you're going to the King. You're going to the Creator of all. You're going to God. You are going into His throne room. Amen. Going with thanksgiving. Give Him the honor and the respect that's due the Almighty Creator of the universe. Because that's who He is, right? Amen. And then it says, let your request be made known to God. It's not because God doesn't know. God knows what's in your hearts. God knows what's in your thoughts. But God wants you to honor him by actually saying it to him. As a dad, nothing bugs me more when my kids want something, but they're not saying anything. They're just kind of inferring it, like, oh, Dad, your ice cream looks really good. You know what I usually do? Why, yes, it does. Wow, it even tastes really good. Honor your father. Ask him. Make your requests to God. And then, and the peace of God. And this is the peace that only God can give. It's the confidence to know that God's trustworthy. It is that God understands what's going on in your life. Even though no one else may understand, God does. God understands. God knows everything that has happened in your life. God knows everything that's going to happen in your life. He's God. And the interesting thing is, his will be accomplished. Amen. His will be accomplished.
Right.
See, our goal when we surrender all to God is not that our will is done, right? But whose will? God's will. So you know what? God's will being done in our life sometimes is not what we want.
Right.
But you know what? But because we've given God all, we're okay with that.
Amen.
Because, and that, that's hard, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That means that we're still okay as long as God is happy. Results.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's not easy. Which surpasses all understanding. And you kind of have to make that statement after what we just talked about. Because does it make any sense for us to want only what God wants? Even when that means that we're not getting what we want? No. That doesn't make sense to me. So we literally need a supernatural ability that can only come from God.
That's right.
It doesn't make any sense for us to have peace in a situation where everything in front of us looks like it's going to fail. It makes no sense for us to have peace in our life when we're not going to get our way. That doesn't make sense. Why should we have peace about that? Because it goes beyond your understanding. Because it's a God thing. It's trusting the fact that God is going to do a miracle that is creative and goes above what you can even believe. It doesn't stop there. What it says, it will guard your hearts and minds. So God will not only guard your emotions and affections, your heart, but he will protect you from leaning on your own logic. He will protect you and strengthen your knowledge in him. He will cause you to lay down and forget your bad memories, the ones that are weighing you down. Actually, he will help you store up memories inside you that will give you confidence, that will give you faith. He will keep your imaginations and dreams in submission to him so you won't have to destroy them because you've submitted them to God, and God's going to honor and bless them. And that's only done through Jesus Christ, right? It would have to be done by him. Because everything that I've just read does not make sense. Matter of fact, that's why you have to surrender all your mind to him. Why? Because you know what? Most of the time, the Bible doesn't make sense. It says, give and it shall be given to you. Does that make sense? If I want to get rich, or if I want to have like my needs taken care of, take care of someone else's needs. That doesn't make any sense. Does it? Does that make any sense? It says in the Bible to turn the other cheek. Someone comes up to you and clocks you in the what are you supposed to do? Turn. Does that make any sense? Love those who hate you. Does that make any sense? No. Is that what the world teaches us? No. See, if you're not willing to surrender all of your mind to God, you will never have peace. You will never understand. You will always be in constant turmoil in your life. You'll always be worried. You'll always be angry at people. We have to surrender all. All. So have you surrendered your reason and your logic to God? Or are you comfortable leaning on your own logic and reason? Have you made sure your knowledge is based in the Word of God versus the knowledge of men?
Right.
Have you learned the memories to keep or the memories to lay down and walk away from?
Right.
Have you surrendered your dreams and imaginations to Jesus? Have you submitted them to Him? He wants them all. He will not settle for anything less. He wants them all. Why don't you stand?